My name's Billy Helm, and I am the Public Relations Director at Celebration House. When I first got hired on there, I thought I was going to be a counselor because that's what my degree is taking, where it's taking me in Christian counseling. And when I seen the need for awareness, I brought it to the leadership and said, look, I'm willing, if you're willing to allow me to, I'm willing to try to take this outside the doors of Bastrop and to take it across the state. We have kids and we have grown adults that are from all over the state. Do we have anybody out of state? I don't think currently we do. Do we have, some that are out of state. So my goal in 2013 is to visit two churches a month and to bring awareness across the state. Now, the Lord has spoke to me and said there's two types of awareness here. There's the awareness that there is a place for the broken, but there's also awareness that we're called to be a part of it. And it's not just a vision that I have. It's actually a mandate from Jesus himself. And it may not be Celebration House, because not everyone is called to frontline ministry, and that's basically what it is. But you know what? We're all called to pray and to work with the brokenhearted, because that's who Christ walked with every day of his 33 years, was the brokenhearted. Two people groups, basically, that he said, do not forsake. One is the child, which I'm blessed. I get to work with children also in another ministry. And second is the brokenhearted. And that's what we do at CH, is work with the brokenhearted. I like to call myself, instead of a public relations director, because that's really just a title. Not a big fan of titles. Years ago, I thought it was important to have a title in the church. But what I found out is really it's irrelevant in the kingdom of God. You do not need a title to get there, okay? But if I have a title, I would like it to be advocate for the broken. Because that's basically what I am, and that's what we all are there. Is we are there for the broken. And it is a great honor. I was broken. I still am broken in many ways. But one time in my life, I was really broken. And that's why I believe God has put me in the position he's put me in. Before I testify why I think we should all be a part of this type of ministry, whether it's CH or another ministry, I would like to share why I am a part of that. And again, this is my first presentation, so I have notes I'll be referring to. I grew up in a household that did not go to church, never knew who Jesus was until my third grade teacher behind closed doors asked me if I knew who Jesus was. And I remember it like it was yesterday. I ran home and asked my mom, who is this Jesus guy that my teacher's telling me about? I want to know more. I want to know more about the kingdom of heaven. I want to know these things. So they loaded, I was the oldest out of three boys. They loaded us up, dropped us off at church the next Sunday and picked us up after the service. And unfortunately, the church didn't embrace us, and I never went back for many years. But my dad, who I love and honor to this day and have all the respect in the world for, was a hardcore alcoholic. My mom did not drink, but she did not drive, and she was verbally and physically abused by my dad, and so was I as a young child, and grew up in a very dysfunctional family. So at a very early age, I became an alcoholic. I started experimenting with things that I should have never, at the age of 12, 13, 14. By the time I was 15, I was already, as a student in school and an athlete, I was already had a problem with alcohol. And when I look at my kids today, and I praise God, my kids aren't perfect. Some of you know them. But I'm so grateful that my kids aren't living the life that I lived. And I love my mom and dad. Don't get me wrong. My mom's with the Lord. She's been there since 2004. She received Christ 6 months before she passed. And You know, I don't go telling everybody that I grew up that way, okay? I'm just letting you know today why I do what I do. The reason I coach is because coaches were there for me my whole life. When I had no one else in my life, coaches were there for me. That's why I coach. Why do I do what I do today? Because I know what it feels like to be broken. I know what it's like. And I know that had God not touched me when he did, he actually used my children. I ran from God for years and years and years. I played sports until I was 27, and then I went right into coaching. I've been coaching ever since. I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but I've been coaching 21 years. Do the math quick. But, you know, God has delivered me from so much in my life. And I'm so grateful. How I could even be up here testifying today to me is a miracle. So that's why I do what I do. And then I put this little note, from Acuna to Austin. And Stephen, I'm going to write a song about it. So maybe you can play it someday. But basically, Acuna to Austin is, I was a part-time missionary in Mexico for several years. A few years after I was born again and set free, the Lord took me right into the ministry, which I wanted to be a part of. I wanted to be a part of the Father's business. I wanted to be what Jesus had mandated us all to be. Even though I was broken and had a lot of things wrong in my life, I knew that Christ could pull me out of that and could send me where he wanted me to go. And it's been an amazing ride ever since. I've been clean of drugs and alcohol for 13 years now. And most people, including my children, don't even know some of the things in my past. And I don't like opening the closet, but sometimes I just feel like somebody needs to hear that. And I just praise God that he set me free from that. That, again, is why I do what I do. But back to Acuna to Austin, I'll just share briefly. When it got dangerous, for years and years, we built houses and churches in Mexico, which is a lot of fun, right? Ron and Sandy's been with us, and it's just a lot of fun to go down. And I think even Chris Kirby went with us one time. Did you go? You didn't make it with us? But man, you talk about fun, going down and building a house for somebody that lives in a pallet house, you know, and no electricity, no water. That's fun stuff. That's good kingdom stuff. And why do you do it? We do it because we love Jesus, and he says, go help. Go help. And that's how we spread the gospel, by using our hands and our feet. Amen? But when it got dangerous to take my beautiful daughters across the border, my boys, well, they wouldn't take them. They would probably send them back. But my daughters, on the other hand, it just really got tough. And not that you couldn't go to Mexico today and do mission work. There's people, I have friends that are still doing it today. But for me and my family, I was praying for a new direction. And it just so happened that I met up with Pastor John one day, and he goes, man, you got to go with me. You have to go downtown and feed the homeless with me. Which, by the way, about 50% of our residents are homeless, come off the streets. We are a rescue ministry, okay? And I'll go in more into that in a little bit. So I went, and I was hooked. There were broken people all around me who wanted to hear why we were there. I mean, what more can you ask for if you want to share Jesus, right? And not just a few people, tens and 50, hundreds, and on some days, literally hundreds of people. What a great opportunity to share the gospel. No, I don't go around beating people in the head with the Bible. I love on them just like Jesus did. And I listen to them. See, my wife has taught me so much in the ministry of listening. Because you know what? That is the ministry that we all need to understand. That is a powerful ministry when you listen to people. See, I always want to just tell them, hey, you just need Jesus. That's just the answer. And that's a big turnoff to people that don't know Jesus. See, we need to listen. We need to be able to listen and understand what they're going through. My wife is amazing at that. I'm ADD, so I have a hard time. I have to break in there every once in a while and just, can I have a few words? But you know, it's really blessed me to be able to work on the streets. I have so many testimonies. I will tell you, as a missionary, a first responder at Katrina and Rita and some other tragedies, and then working with the broken, I have witnessed miracles and miracles. I don't witness miracles very many places except where there's brokenness. You want to witness some miracles? Go where people are broken. Go where there's poverty. Go where there's destruction. Go where there's hopelessness. You will see God moving. And it's a powerful thing when you get to see that. Now, I do get to witness. I'm blessed to get to work at Camp Wilderness Ridge. I get to see miracles when young men receive Christ into their lives. Those are great miracles. I'm talking about miracles like, wow, okay? One time, quick story. This is kind of off the chart here, but I was at Katrina, and we were there for about 3 days already, and we ran out of toilet paper. You don't want to run out of toilet paper when there's thousands of people around running, asking for toilet paper, okay? So we had been praying for everything else, and I said, hey, let's just pray for toilet paper. And we did. We prayed in Jesus' name that we had received some fluffy white stuff that everybody was. And I kid you not, a truck pulls up and says, hey, we got 40,000 rolls of toilet paper. Y'all need them? And I was like, wow. Okay, so that's, you know, you're going, oh, wow, that's a great miracle, Bill. But, you know, God is God. And when you're used to having that stuff and all of a sudden you don't have it, then he is faithful. You know, one thing I've learned, especially since I started working with the homeless, and this frustrates me to no end, and I'm guilty of it, is people stereotyping the homeless. Probably every adult in this room is probably guilty of it at least once. And if you're not, I'll slap you on the back and say, great job, because it is so easy to drive down the streets of Austin and judge people and say, get a job. Why are you holding a sign up that says, I am hungry, we'll work for food? You know what? Let me share something with you that broke my heart. My wife and I, several years ago, were blessed. We were going to foster some kids. We really wanted to foster some kids. And then the Lord changed our direction a little and moved us. And so we didn't feel like it was the right timing. But what was the right timing was the classes required to adopt kids. Child development classes. Incredible. If you're a parent and have never taken a child development class, I highly recommend it. I learned more about my own kids than I did about others. It was phenomenal. But here is an alarming statistic that I heard that day that forever changed my life. Over 50% of the homeless population come out of the foster care system. Wow. It broke my heart. And it really made me think, wow, we failed. Because you know what? All those people at CH and all those people on the corners holding those signs up, they were somebody's little child at one time. And they wasn't embraced for some reason or another. They went through some type of trauma in their life that spiraled them into an addiction, spiraled them into a homelessness, and they didn't know how to get out of it. You would be amazed at the people that are on the streets. We have a guy at CH right now that is a graduate from Texas A&M. Just found that out recently. And he was sharing with me. At Thanksgiving dinner, he shared this with the whole crowd. I had dinner with the residents that evening, and I said, I would like everyone to go around and praise God for something good in their life. Let's all share what we're thankful for. And if you're not thankful, it's okay. You don't have to say anything. Well, everybody was praising God. We get all the way around to this gentleman. He's the very last one, the man who graduated from Texas A&M. And he says, I'm really glad I didn't commit suicide last week. He goes, I was seconds away from walking out in front of a semi-truck on 183. And something pulled me away from it. Whew, man. That's a lot to be thankful for. And then after that, he says, and by the way, I really want to get to know this God of yours. Is that awesome or what? That made my day, actually. As great as it was spending with my family on Thanksgiving, to hear someone say that really blessed me. So why should we support a ministry like CH? And I'm not here today to sell crosses, I'll just tell you. Here's what I would love more than anything, and I would covet more than anything, is your prayer. This is obviously a praying church. We need your prayer. We need prayer. You know, God can raise up, everybody in this room knows that God can raise up one man to take care of any financial needs. That's not, we need prayer. We have a high turnover rate, unfortunately, but that's part of this type of ministry. You take a guy, we have a guy that we actually met on the streets. He was homeless 13 years and had been in and out of places that he just could not get it together. He said, you know, I just can't handle it. They scream at me, they do this, they do that. For whatever reason, he was back on the streets again. Seen him at Gandalf's Prayer Cafe one morning. He asked about CH, and he's been there for a little over a month now. And he's in his Bible every day. And it's so awesome to see that. And we have so many great things planned for 2013. We have a work-study program. Neil's a vocational director, but we're going to take it even further. We want to teach when they get to phase two. If somebody has a desire to be a truck driver, we want to help them. We want to help them. If somebody wants to learn how to use a computer, you wouldn't believe how many guys have spent years and years in prison. The one guy on there, and he would say, go ahead, share it. He was in the Mexican mafia. Okay? He has hate written across his knuckles. He spent many, many years in the penitentiary, but he grew up in a hostile environment where there were drugs and gangs all around him. He knew nothing else. And now he's at a place to where he's like, I really like it here. I can feel the love of God here. Amen? That's good stuff. John 13. This is one of the toughest things for me as a believer, because I know the love of Christ. I'm not going to go into my testimony. It's days, weeks long. Okay? But Jesus says in John 13, 34, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, when Jesus said to love others as what? You as yourself, or to love your neighbor as yourself, right? That's doable. Hey, I make him pull that one off. But to love others as Jesus loves him, that's a whole different place, isn't it? That is a powerful, powerful statement by Christ, who said, I am going to lay down my life for you, who was spat upon and beaten and treated, mistreated for 33 years of his life, the King of Glory. And he wants us, he mandates us to love one another as he loves us. Okay? That is a very powerful scripture. So how can I love others as Christ loves them? I'm going to tell you, it's real simple. Jesus was all about others. was he not? So when I got the revelation that my life is not about my life, it's about your life, then I was set free from that. I live for you. You live for others. I don't live my life for my life. I am a responsible husband and a father, and I do what I got to do to take care of my family, okay? But if my priority in life is my life, I'm not living like Jesus lived. Because, see, Jesus' life was about others. It wasn't about his needs. It was about the needs of others. Have we washed any feet lately? That's a good one, right? Well, if you go to church under the bridge with us, I don't want to pull you away from your church family, but every third Sunday we go and we wash feet and we do pedicures. You want to talk about something that's humbling? Wash some feet that hadn't had the sock pulled off of it since the last time you were there doing pedicures. But see, that's what Jesus did. Jesus said to humble yourself to a place where others are more important than yourself. And it's not about works that no man should boast, right? We know that. It's not about works. It's about the manifestation of God himself in your life to where you can go out and do the things that Jesus did himself. And everyone in this room has the ability to do that. And when you get that revelation that your life is not about you, your life is about others, it will change your life forever. I promise you. Because that's when you'll see the manifestation take place. That's when you'll start to see things in your life happen that never could have happened before, because it was all about you. Or maybe all about your spouse. Or maybe all about your children. See, God gave me a revelation years ago. When I first started walking with him, it was because of my children. I had a dream that my son Willie and I were walking in the gates of hell together. Pretty powerful dream. Woke me right up. And I said to God, God, how can I love you more than I love my son? How? Because I'm supposed to love God above all things. I cannot put anything in front of God. If my heart is to be as Christ, if I'm going to live my life for the Lord Jesus, I have to put God above all things in my life. Okay? It was very simple. So profound, so simple. He said, guess what? He said, when you learn to love me more than your son, you will love your son more than you can ever imagine. When you learn to love me more than people, you will learn to love people more than you can ever imagine. See, the love of Christ in us is that manifestation of God himself. And that's how we learn to put other people above ourselves. It's not about me, and it never will be. And I like it that way. I like it. Doesn't mean we can't enjoy life. Doesn't mean we can't go fishing. Bubba, we can still go fishing. We can still go hunting. We can still do all those things. God wants to bless us. He wants us to be happy and fruitful and raise up our kids in the beauties of God. Absolutely. But people, yikes, people need to be first in our life. Because of time, I'm not going to go into John 10. I was going to go into the rich young ruler, which, huge challenge for me anyway, because for years I struggled. I was telling Ron about that. What a great passage. Just a quick little blurb on that anyway. But for Jesus to say, hey, everything's going great. Hey, I found favor in you. Everything's good. However, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, go sell everything you own and give it to the poor. Wow. Next time I'll share that with you. I do want to end with this passage right here. And by the way, you know, with technology today, it has helped me so much. Because I can Google how many times, or search engine, how many times the Bible says love, right? 243 times. or anything I want to do, I've learned how to do that. Yeah, I know, it's hard to believe, but I can find anything. But 20 passages this morning on loving your neighbor. But the one, my favorite, was Romans 12:10. It says, be devoted to one another. What does that word devote mean? It means to sell out for, right? In other words, you're a priority. When Paul in Ephesians says to endeavor unity in the body, what is he talking about? Endeavor, he's saying you do whatever it takes to bring unity. Same thing with devoted. When you want to be devoted to something, you don't just make it important. No, it's very important to you. I'm very devoted to my ladies' basketball team. I'm not the greatest coach. And you know what? I never even played basketball. But those girls need somebody there who's committed. It's called devotion. And I'm going to be devoted. No matter how much they make fun of me. No, I'm kidding. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. In other words, whatever you need from me, I'm there for you. That's hard, isn't it? It's hard to put our life on the side and put other people in front of our own lives. It is. It's very hard. And then he finishes with this. Honor one another above yourselves. In a nutshell, that's everything I just said this morning. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love and honor one another above yourselves. That's who Christ was. That's who Christ is in us. It is a great, great honor to be here in front of you guys today, because I'll just tell you, our first presentation, it is so much easier when you know half the people in the room. So if I have to step up and in front of 5,000 people, I'm not sure how I'll do, but I know that God will help me through that, and hopefully the Lord will open doors for that to happen. Just a few things before I close in prayer. There's the crosses up there. Those are by donation only, and those, as you've seen on the video, which, by the way, the video, sorry about the little quirks in the video, but it's a very powerful video, but we just, you know, we need to fine-tune it. Those are by donation. That helps support our ministry, which is 100% supported by donation only. If people come off the street, they don't have any money, they don't have to pay. We take them right where they're at. So it's a big deal, but it's not a big deal to God, because He is our provider and He will provide. So if one cross doesn't move, that's okay too. Like I said before, we covet your prayers, and that's really what we need. Also, there's some information up there. There's some brochures. On the brochure, there's a website. The website is not up yet, okay? I purchased the domain. It will be up this week. Everything has been by the seat of my pants the last 3 weeks, okay? So, but I didn't want to leave it off there. It's going to be up before long. Also, this is really cool. We're starting some fundraisers, and what I did is I created a spreadsheet that has our product on it, and so instead of selling candy or popcorn that you don't have anything to show for after it's all gone, you can raise money this way by selling our product. And not only will you bless your ministry, youth group, men's group, whatever, you'll be blessing our ministry as well. And this will take a little critiquing and fine-tuning over, you know, the next few months, as anything does. But I'm believing God's going to use this as a great way to provide for our ministry. So, does anybody have any questions?
There is information on the yes. Information about donations and how you can get involved, whether prayerfully, financially, or even personally?
There is not. That's what we're here for. Yes, my card's up there. Yes, Jeff.
Some of us may know, but some of us may not. Could you tell us where you're located?
Hey, great question. We are... Okay, do you know where Celebration Community Church is? Okay, it's out on Highway 95, past the prison. You turn right on Pershing, and we're down at the end of Coolwater.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. And I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the questions that people are going to have is, when we support CH, are we supporting the church? And the answer is no. One of the things I've been working really hard on here lately is trying to get CH its own 501c3, and that is in the process, and that we are our own ministry. There is a church there, and it's a great little church, but 99% of what goes on that campus is CH. So if you do donate by check or give an offering, it needs to be CCC, and in the memo, just put CH, and that way the church secretary will put it into the CH fund, and that will all be starting up in the next week or two. That's one of my priorities. So if you're interested in volunteering or teaching, if you have the gift of teaching, man, we have 5 classes a day. We have 4 in the morning and 1 in the evening. If that's your gift, if you're led to participate in a ministry like that, just, you know, give me a call and I'll get you hooked up. The morning classes are the first, okay, actually they have devotion at 7. And then the first class starts at 8, then 9, 10, and 11. And they're dependency classes, they're health and nutrition classes, they're all different types of classes. And we try to mix it up to where it's not, you know, it doesn't beat them up too bad. We try to incorporate the Word of God in everything that we do. So those are our classes. Any other questions? Yes.
Do you have women's ministry?
Absolutely. John's wife, Rebecca, runs the ladies group there, ministry. And I'm going to tell you what, she does a fantastic job. And I tell you what, man, one of the problems I have is I get attached to people. And in this ministry, it's really hard because they may not be there when I go back. I only work there 2 days a week. And I don't know how many times I've went back and someone's been gone. It just devastated me. But there is one of the young ladies on there. She's 20 years old. She testified on the video. When she was the oldest out of 3 girls. Her mom was a meth addict until she was 16. She lived in a meth house. She has cuts all up and down her arms. And I'm not talking about little scratches. I'm talking about deep cuts. And to see where she's come and where she is now. And I love that girl. If I could adopt her and take her in, I told Rhonda, I said, you know what? We're going to adopt that girl. But that's something I have to overcome. I fall in love with people too easy. But you know, when you see stuff like that, it makes it all worthwhile. And we and our ladies directors they're awesome. They're very compassionate. Very compassionate. Anybody else? Well, thank y'all so much for listening to me. I know I hit a couple bunny trails. That's just who I am. Thanks for having us, and please come see us after the service at the tables, and if you have any more questions, let's pray. Father, I thank you. Lord, you are so good. Thank you for allowing me to share your goodness, Father. I just praise you for everything you're doing in this church. It's so awesome to see a church that prays and puts so much into praising you and to giving you thanks. Lord, thank you for today and just all the things that you're doing here, Lord, and each one of us. Lord, we all are broken in some way. Lord, help us realize that our lives are really not about us, that there's great healing in living our lives for others. There's great healing in forgiveness and mercy. Lord, thank you so much again for the opportunity to share. We love you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.